And welcome to Big Collective Podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Tuesday afternoon. Joining me from Los Angeles, California, she's in the radio station, ESPN Radio. She's about to go on the air. It's very hard to get a hold of the two people we have on this pod. It takes a lot to make this come together. Thank you, Ramona Shelburne, for finding a little bit of time for us.
It's really just for you, Brian. Like,
thank you,
Kyle.
What about Mark J. Spears? Not for Mark J. Spears?
Mark J. Spears and I can find each other all the time. Like, okay. you have trouble finding us. We can find each right. other at any... That's the mayor.
You guys, just, right.
I got a direct line.
You're like the mayor of L.A. Spears from Manscaped is like the mayor of the entire West Coast. Actually, Spears worked in Denver and worked in Boston.
And L.A.
And like, he's got lots of spheres of influence. Hello, Mr. Spears. How are you?
I'm just enjoying y'all. Give me some love, man. I'll just take the love.
So, Spears, you had an interesting story today that's on the front page of ESPN.
Yeah, it was.
You went to, I think it was the press conference yesterday in San Francisco. They announced that that San Francisco is going to host next year's, as in 2025, next season's All-Star game. Adam Silver was there for that. And then you had an interesting conversation with him. I don't know if it was before or after the press conference. I wish you could tell us about that conversation because you got him to say something that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, we try to do our walk and talks after everybody's done, right? I didn't want to throw my...
You don't exactly sidle, you know?
Yeah. Which is hard to get with Adam because there's 1,000 people that want to say hi. But no, I got a couple of minutes with him and just asked him, like, how do you fix this? And he said, yeah, you know, maybe you should write this. And I was like, oh, this is about to be good. Hey Brian, you know that, right? Maybe you should write this, but I'm about to give you something. But then he told me that he talked with Chris Paul, and Chris Paul basically said the league was schizophrenic. That was the word Adam used for not really looking at their side of things and like how many distractions players have before the game and at halftime, which lead to them not giving maximum effort in the game. You know, I really thought about it and said, like, shoot, yeah, before the game last year, they spend like 15 minutes picking teams. And then after that happens, they got to go back to their locker room, but they have to change locker rooms for some of the guys. And it messes up their also the routine of getting treatment and stuff like that. And so Adam said, you know, he's going to take Chris Paul's cue and do less before the game and try to like minimize the halftime act or whatever, whoever it's going to be, and make it more about the basketball. And, you know, to me, there's nothing more that the NBA really can do than that. And he also got rid of all the gimmicks, the weird first one to get 24 points thing and no clock at the end. And
I liked that. Sorry.
I know. I liked all that stuff.
I hated that.
How long are the introductions going to be? Like, I think I've never waited so long for people to be introduced that I have.
Yeah.
In the last
well,
few
then
NBA
it's like two different
games.
Rappers, right? doing
remember,
their song.
Remember
like,
Common?
Yeah.
Was it Common a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Who was doing the rhymes?
Freelance and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Just cut the rap down to 5 minutes. You know,
like Kevin Hart did a whole comedy set, you know, 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, what's going
it's
on here?
Like, it's too much. And so I think by not having the players choose teams, by them having a shorter introduction, maybe not having Fergie sing for the game where you certainly lose your distraction.
I remember when
right?
Fergie sang.
It's really up to the players after that. I don't think there really will be any excuse. And what Adam did say, too, is he's like, look, I don't expect them to play like it's a finals game, but I'm going to make those changes, make this more simple. And
it sounds like what he's saying is meet me halfway.
Yeah, I'm going to do all these things and just give an effort. But I think ultimately another person I talked to was Chris Mullin, and he said Larry Bird would come into the locker room and Magic Johnson would come into the locker room and they're playing for their respective conferences and they're like, I'm trying to win. We're trying to win. Like, I think they need somebody to take it seriously. And I think the last guys that really like pushed, and please correct me if I'm wrong, to take this game seriously was Kobe Bryant and Chris Paul.
Kobe,
obviously, that
Kobe,
you know, that
was
but,
not
so
well. First off, Kobe
now?
Was Kobe was not a bleeping around guy on an average Tuesday.
Yeah,
he sure as hell wasn't a messing around at the All-Star game. He I remember him and Dwayne Wade, and didn't Dwayne like break,
give him a concussion or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was about the last time the All-Star game was played at any level. Now I will say this. I know Adam says it's his fault for doing so much before the games. I think the reason that they had the ceremony before the game last year was a scheduling thing. Cause I don't think LeBron and Giannis were available on set. I think they wanted to do it on Saturday. I don't even think LeBron arrived in Salt Lake City until game day last year. And I think he had a family thing. I don't know. I don't think he arrived until Sunday. And I remember he played like a quarter and then he was done. And he was like, I had a great weekend. So thank you, Salt Lake City. Have a great weekend. And I was like, you were here for 6 hours, bro. Yeah. But I think that was partially due to scheduling, because last year they didn't want to do it like a week or two out. They wanted to do it like right on All-Star weekend. And LeBron wasn't available Saturday night. I think that might have been a part of it. But anyway, maybe that's Adam trying to do it on All-Star weekend. But the fact that a commissioner would say, this is my fault, that doesn't happen very often. And if you let me go down to Brian's story time, I like to do this sometimes.
Yeah.
Spears, when you said maybe you should write about this, it reminded me of an amazing conversation, an amazing hour I spent with Sonny Vaccaro. If you don't know Sonny Vaccaro is, legendary shoe company recruiter in the movie that just came out earlier this year, Air, about Michael Jordan. Matt Damon played Sonny Vaccaro. Sonny is a wonderful man. He does not look like Matt Damon, so I take my hat off to Sonny for having Matt Damon play him in a movie. Then again, Phil Knight doesn't look like Ben Affleck either, but anyway, so when LeBron was about to come into the NBA, there was this intense battle to sign him. This has been written about extensively. I've written about it in several books, several long stories. The shoe contract to get LeBron. And it was very, first off, I was 24 years old. Secondly, it was very hard to report on. Nike was not returning my phone calls. They were not talking to me. Okay. Reebok had a guy living in Akron who I knew, but he wasn't like an executive level guy. I didn't have much in Reebok. And then you had Sonny Vaccaro from Adidas. Sonny would talk, and Sonny would talk on the record. And so Sonny had this All-Star game that he would run for recruit for it was like
the ABCD game.
McDonald's. Well, no, it had several different names over the years. Okay. I think it was originally called the Dapper Dan, but this was like the alternative. It was the Adidas to the McDonald's All-American game. Adidas had their own game, and it was in Chicago. And so the night before the game, Sonny said, come to my hotel suite. So I went up this elevator at the Hyatt Hotel, you know, on Wacker Avenue in Chicago, like the 65th floor. Sonny's got this enormous suite. It's like dusk. Sonny's got the lights off. He's sitting like on a couch in the corner. It's very dim light. It looked like the opening scene from The Godfather. And he's sitting there waxing poetic. And every 5 or 10 minutes in the dining room of the suite, he had this enormous pile of memorabilia, signed basketballs, signed jerseys, you know, shoes, all this stuff. And like every 5 to 10 minutes, there would be a knock at the door and some giant figure of basketball power would come in holding memorabilia, like bringing him gifts, because they were auctioning it all off for charity that night. Several NBA general managers came in, like a couple of prominent head basketball, like I won't say who, because I just don't know if it was all legal or whatever, but like a coach who has won the NCAA tournament multiple times, including in the very recent past, very, very, very recent past, came in with stuff. And it was like, oh my God, like I'm 24 years old. But anyway, this is what I get to. Sonny would reach a point, and this is what he'd say, Spears. He would say, Brian, please quote me on this. Please quote me on this. Like, here's this power broker. And he was like, Brian, please quote me on this. It's going to be $100 million. What? I said LeBron's going to get $100 million. Like, nobody was saying anything. Like, nobody was, and here he was going on the record as a bidder. What I later learned was that he knew Adidas wasn't going to be able to get him, and he just wanted to put pressure on Nike to have to pay a lot of money, which frankly worked. But anyway, sorry, I went way off track. When you said you should write about this, it reminded me of Sonny saying, Brian, please quote me on this. I mean, as a reporter who's reporting on a difficult story, which you guys have done a lot, especially Ramona, who is all you do is write these big complicated stories. Hearing a major source say, please quote me on this, it sticks with me 20 years. 20
I know.
Years.
Well, my the last one I can remember like that, Brian, was Anthony Davis's dad saying he will not play in Boston.
Like, please quote me on this.
Please quote me on that. And I was like, are you sure? That Okay.
And to his credit, he did not.
He didn't duck.
So Ramona, I don't know what can be done about the All-Star game at all.
Okay, wait. I was so patient and I was listening to Mark and Adam Silver owning this and what can be done. We need to play USA versus the world. Like, that's what can be done. Like, we need to do this differently. It just needs to be the last three MVPs, the last four MVPs.
Don't tell anybody, but the world would kick the US's butt.
I know. You cover Team USA. I know. But we need to play Team USA versus the world. That's how you get people in it. That's how you get these guys to care. Like, whatever the Western Conference and Eastern Conference teams are now, nobody's thinking that way. Guys get traded and they change conferences right around the same time. Now, 2 weeks later, they'll be on a different team. I mean, it's all like USA versus the world. That's what they do in hockey. It's what they do in the WNBA. I mean, this is a great format. And
Luka and Jokic would have issues. I mean, Luka, not with each other. Like, they would show up to play, Spears.
Luka, Jokic, Giannis. Embiid, well, I don't know. What is he on now? If he's Team USA, does he play?
Good question.
Shea, Gilgeous. I mean,
the only good basketball All-Star game that I go to is Hoop Summit.
Yeah.
And it's only great, I think, because, you know, it's the top American high school players against the top international teams. But it's because it's like USA versus the world, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a different pride, a different energy. The practices and whatnot. I actually think they should put USA and Canada together.
Okay, North America versus the world.
Seriously, the fact that we need it, right?
We do. Like, we need the reinforcements.
I think you downgrade in our American players. You get the top.
LeBron and Book would have something to say about that.
Yeah. Kevin Durant ain't bad.
Yeah.
LeBron James ain't bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's some really good American players. Let's not act like they're toast.
I'm not saying they're toast. I'm saying our lead, and I say our.
I mean, honestly,
American.
They'd have to have Embiid at center. Lead is like, gone. Who else is the U.S. gonna have at center?
Our lead is
Bam.
Gone.
Okay, Bam. Yeah.
Which, by the way, Bam is giving Team USA a gift because he got cut in 2019. He shouldn't have been cut. He was awesome in camp, and he was eligible to play for Nigeria in the 2021 Olympics, and he could have played. And that team was in the Olympics and good, and he didn't. And he played for America, and that was a gift. It's kind of like Paolo Banchero. He gave the U.S. a gift, not playing for Italy, who they played in the World Cup this year. So I'm just saying lead
the
is
fact
not
that we're
there
talking
anymore.
About it right now, I think them guys would, I think it would be some energy behind
I know,
it.
Let's put Kyrie out there, Kevin Durant, James Harden. Come on,
this is
the game.
I know that there would be energy from the international players.
I think
I don't know
play.
If there'd be, I don't know, so. Man.
Little different when you make it like the stakes like that.
Yeah.
Your pride starts to hit a little bit.
That would be good because I don't think the average NBA fan, like, people don't pay attention to the World Cup. I know because I was there. Like, they're like, oh, how did the USA do? They pay attention to the Olympics, and the U.S. has won the last four, even though I will say we got by the skin of our teeth in Tokyo, by the skin of our teeth in Kevin Durant's mid-range shot. We got by. It would be interesting for sure. It's certainly, I'll put it this way. The ideas that they've put forward have not been to fruition. The play-in tournament, which was a major initiative under Adam Silver, has worked. It's going to be a big part of the NBA for way into the future. The All-Star game changes didn't work because they abandoned them. We know they didn't work. But I check out Mark Spear's story on that. It's on ESPN on Anscape because the quotes from Silver are pretty interesting. And Ramona, Silver did raise that possibility, right? About playing the Team USA versus the world.
Yeah. You think it happens in San Francisco? Maybe wait a year?
Let's see what happens in the Olympics, right? I think that might be see what happens in Paris 2024 if the U.S. pulls it out, right? Like, I'm not so sure. Are you, Brian? I mean, I think they're going to have the Monstars, but, Is that enough? Can they all play together?
I'm just going to say Serbia is a problem. And Serbia did not manage to qualify for the last Olympics. And then Jokic took this summer off. He didn't play because of the long stretch that he had. He knew he was thinking the Nuggets may contend to repeat and then the Olympics. He took it off. And Serbia squeezed in there, got into the finals, upset Canada in the semis, and got into the finals and clinched a spot. And Serbia getting that spot, getting Jokic into the Olympics, that's a problem. And even Team Germany played awesome because Franz Wagner is great. He's great in the international game. And Schroeder turns into Steve Nash. I don't have to say. Yeah. Schroeder turns into Steve Nash. Patty Mills turns into Steve Nash.
If USA had some size, they would have won.
But they don't, Spears. Pitiful. They didn't have it. They didn't have it.
They do now. They have Joel Embiid.
They had some guys that they, like, if Jared Allen was there blocking shots and getting rebounds, I think that would have helped. I think the problem is we're worried too much about superstar names and not superstar fits. Like,
well, it's just funny to me. Steve Kerr designed that team to play small and fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work. They finished fourth. Yeah. And now I'm watching the Warriors. Steve Kerr's playing small and fast, trying to make
like
it
even
work.
If they had Looney on that team, right? That would have helped.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I'm not opposed to Looney being on
Looney,
USA next
Aaron
year.
Gordon, guys like that. That's what they need.
Just some size, some guys that are worried about getting rebounds, putting a body on somebody. And I think that's the problem is they need to reserve like three spots for some goons that could come in and hit some big guys. Because those big guys that were giving them problems are really trash overall as players. They just were just too
Spears, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's the American mentality. They're like, Daniel Tice, give me a break.
Yeah, but they didn't
have Daniel Tice like, gets in there and starts knocking people around.
Yeah.
They had nobody on a team that was bigger than 6'8". That was the problem.
Well, they had
if
Walker
we would have brought
Kessler,
some size, then Daniel
Walker
Tice would have been Daniel Tice.
Spears, I know
if
you
Jared
say
Bell
that.
Was playing and Looney was playing on that team, does Daniel Tice get go nuts?
I don't know.
Walker Kessler was on
the other team
didn't
that they lost to that had size? Do they get all those rebounds? No.
They lost to Germany and Canada.
They
lost to Lithuania. Valanciunas
exactly
messed them up. And they almost lost to Montenegro. Nikola Vucevic.
Size.
I know. Trust me. I know. It didn't take a genius to look at them and say it was a problem. But how is that getting mitigated? Okay. When was the last time Joel Embiid was healthy at the end of the season? One in the last couple years.
Yeah. Well, then you're going to have his big body in there.
By the way, Embiid, the Sixers are 5-1.
Yeah.
And Embiid last night against the Wizards, being Monday night, he had 48 points on 25 shots. He did not make a three.
Yep.
He had 29 points in the third quarter.
It was like one of those early, those Kobe games where he had 48 after like three and he doesn't play late.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, he could have had 60 if they would have left him in.
Curry games. Kind of like some of those.
Yeah, Steph and Clay.
I assume that, the Sixers will have some struggles, some adversity later, but
he's been awesome.
You know how, you remember the old, we're fine in the West?
Yeah.
Right now the Sixers are like we're fine.
Do they need to do anything, or you think they're good?
I think they will definitely do something. I don't know if it'll be like the big acquisition.
Do they need Zach LaVine? Do they need a
cat? I think they need like an OG Anunoby type. They need somebody who can be like perimeter defense, make up for what Maxi doesn't do there.
Anunoby would be awesome. It would be an awesome pickup. And the Raptors, by the way, Scottie Barnes is off to a tremendous
moly. I mean, I heard all the stuff about him preseason of, he gained 10, 15 pounds of muscle. He's a different guy this year. He
Spurs by himself.
He was amazing against the Spurs. And I think he looks like, it's almost like last year didn't happen. Like, let's just pretend that the sophomore slump didn't happen. And he just built right off that rookie of the year.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. By the way, speaking of the Sixers, you wrote a story, was it last week, where you talked about the painting that you did a story about the Harden trade and everything. Would you tell the story about the painting?
So, Daryl Morey's house? You know, I've been kind of saving this one because I knew about it for a while, and Daryl Morey's actually like Instagram posted about this, so it wasn't a huge secret. But he had a portrait, I guess, because it's mixed media type of work from a Croatian artist whose name is, I'm probably going to bungle the name here, but I think it's Filip Perajic. Okay. And he, over the years, has created a project where all he does was create portraits of James Harden. He's done 36 of them. They all go viral. They're really cool. I think Adidas has used some of them in the James Harden merchandise. You know, I mean, he's the guy who knows how to.
He's Croatian.
Yeah.
He's Croatian and he's obsessed with drawing James Harden.
Yeah.
James Harden. Painting, drawing, whatever it is.
Yeah. And his stuff is really amazing. If you want to find it, it's jameshardenillustrated.com. You can look at it. And there's all different, and the whole project was just to keep drawing the same guy over and over. And during
it's all like
heyday,
the same, it's all like the same angle. It's all like a profile of Harden done different ways. He's
cool. And they're cool.
They're cool, but it's odd. I mean, he's very, very talented, but is it okay if I say it's odd?
I mean, that's your taste. You know, I think it's cool. I don't know if I want 36 of them in my house. Okay. But Daryl Morey, after James Harden won the MVP in 2018, had a personal commissioned portrait of James Harden made for his house. And when it was finally ready in 2019, he puts up an Instagram post where he says, "My beard shrine is complete." And then in 2020, he takes a selfie in front of this portrait. It's a really cool portrait of James, and you know, you can even see things down to the 3-point line where he has the equation for true shooting percentage written out in the 3-point line. There's some, the artist told me there was something about the shot chart is like his Harden's heat map. I don't know all the details. I'm sure Daryl does. But he moved when James, he traded for James, obviously now that he moved that portrait to Philadelphia and it's in his house there. And he's put that on social media as well. It's an Instagram post, I think, in 2021. And he posted that when he had another portrait made of Joel Embiid. Okay, so it was Harden and Embiid. And he says something like, I think the caption was, "I thought we just needed one, but now I know we need two." I mean, it was like a recognition that Harden alone needs a co-star. And it was, you know, as a writer, you're just like, oh my gosh, this is just right. The story writes itself, right? I mean, it's like the recognition you can't win with Harden alone.
You
needs a co-star.
You talked to Filip, right?
Yeah. I just, you know, just slid into his DMs. and we had a chat from where he lives in Croatia. He's a basketball obsessed guy. He like plays at the park every day. He's really into the game, but he also has some other projects now. It's kind of opened a lot of doors for him. And he, you know, I was very curious in talking to Daryl after the trade, like, okay, so you guys just went through this very messy divorce. Like how, you know, this was a very personal divorce story. I don't know if, have you guys ever seen a breakup like this between executive and player who for 10 years had had a great basketball collaboration and then it just got,
I mean,
very
I've seen a lot of breakups.
Messy.
I don't know if I've seen one like this where a guy is so
Pat
obsessed.
Riley?
I don't,
Yeah, Pat
I don't think
Wayne,
Pat Riley maybe. Had a. I don't think Pat Riley had a portrait of LeBron painted in his home that I'm aware
or
of.
Or Magic Johnson.
Magic
Johnson would make a little bit more sense.
But anyway, so I said to Daryl, I go, well, what are you going to do with the portrait now? Like, are you going to keep it? You know, after James called you a liar and all this messy divorce that you guys just went through. And he goes, well, yeah, it's one of my most prized possessions. And I was like, oh, man. I mean, that's how you recognize how different the two guys are. Like, James is told people, as I said in the story, like, I'm never going to talk to that guy again because he feels so bitter about this. Whereas Daryl kind of has an appreciation for the 10 years they spent together making basketball, really changing the game of basketball and the way they played and the type of offense that they ran in Houston all those years. And I think that, you know, just when the business went bad, his personal feeling towards James is fine. Like, he's
well, it's funny.
Able to separate
the tweeted,
two.
Philip tweeted, is Philip or Philippe? I don't know, but
Philip,
I'll say Philip.
Yeah.
He tweeted that quote that you had about him keeping the painting. And he said, find someone who supports you the way Daryl Morey supports me. And he has also promised, because by the way, he painted an Embiid one in the same style for Daryl to hang up. And quite frankly, the Embiid one is spectacular.
It's cool. It's all his tweets and stuff. Yeah.
In my humble opinion, it's a better portrait. But Philip is now, he is now stands ready to paint a third portrait for whatever star he acquires next. And I say, start working on Tyrese Maxey. That's what I say. But what do I know?
Brian,
I am not
Brian,
an artist.
I would be remiss if I didn't get one of your all-time classic lines in because we're judging artistry and stuff. Like, I'll never forget the video you did with the shoes, wondering if they were fire or not.
Yeah,
which one of those is the Embiid one? Is that fire?
The Embiid one is, in my humble opinion, fire. Like, I will say the James Harden portraits, the way they're all different, is very remarkable how an artist could make them all different. And they're different in very unique and creative ways, but it's odd. It's an odd obsession. This Embiid portrait that he did is fire, and literally because it's like blue flame. Like, Joel should try to buy that photo, that portrait off of Daryl. It is a little bit weird to hang a portrait of yourself in your home, but I mean, this is a portrait that I would endorse being hung in a home. it's gorgeous,
you know. And just to close the loop, I did ask Philip, you know, if you painted hard now, would your portrait reflect anything that's happened? And he goes, well, to be honest, the project wasn't really about that. It wasn't about like what was going on at that moment in time, but you know, I've changed and he's changed and time has passed, and so the art has to evolve. And I was like, it really is one of the stranger basketball executive player relationships over the past, you know, really in basketball history, of like one player who symbolized everything that this executive believed in that was very different than the way the game had been played. Right. Like, I mean, I always think Daryl Morey is like, and Sam Hinkie in the same vein of like stapling the Martin Luther, you know, Protestant Reformation on the church door. Right. Of how basketball should be played. And now everybody plays this way. You're just talking about Steve Kerr and how he plays with the small ball Warriors. Like, the small ball Warriors are great, but they did have trouble against the Cavs earlier this week.
And in a strange way, and this is not politically correct and it's not popular, what James Harden is done with his career, in a way, is a way of reform. He's basically like, I'm going to do what's best for me by any means possible. And I don't care if I break some glasses or some vases along the way. And he hasn't won at the highest level, but like Spears, he's generally gotten what he's wanted. And so how can you look at what he's done and say that he is quote unquote failed? Again, you may say, well, he hasn't won a title. Okay, well, his career's not over. But how can you look at it and say that he hasn't achieved MVP, hundreds of millions of dollars, and whenever he wants to leave, he's able to leave and go wherever he wants.
Yeah. I do wonder what his long-term, I guess, legacy is, how he's going to be remembered, especially, like, I think he has to win something to cure a lot of these ills. Cure a lot, because
where
do
would
think...
James Harden get cheered? Would he get cheered in Houston? I mean, I know they cheer for him in L.A. now, but like that's only like they don't have a reason to.
Right.
Where would he get cheered? He got booed like crazy in Madison Square Garden.
OKC.
Last night.
Well, I guess. I think Houston. I think if Houston will come around.
Yeah, I mean, he was. They should retire.
But I think just globally, it's just fatigue.
I agree.
They're just fatigue and soap opera.
There's certain establishments in Houston he get cheered in.
See, I didn't say that.
You did. Brian said it.
little baby, little baby was there. Little baby keeps showing up to Harden's first game.
Lil, don't say
little baby. Like, you know, we could get Phillip to start painting little baby at Harden's first games at new places, because that keeps happening. Little baby keeps showing up to give his support. There could be like him in Brooklyn.
I need
him
a friend like that just gives me a box of money.
You know what's so crazy? If I'm not mistaken, they each gave each other boxes of money. Like one of them gave the other one. I think Harden gave Lil Baby $100,000, a honey bun, right? He gave him $100,000 in cash. Like it's on social media, it's not a secret. And then like
so Brian, wait, Brian, later, you said fire in this podcast. You said honey bun.
Yeah.
Like you hit, you get hit, baby.
Something like
Let's
that.
Let's go.
Then like
Lil Baby,
some period of
baby
months,
references. I don't know, man. You becoming a rapper kind of or something like that.
Hell no. Some period of months later, Lil Baby gave Harden $250,000 cash in a beautiful suitcase, if I remember. And the suitcase had hundreds of quarters in it.
Oh.
Because he was a quarter million.
Oh, wow.
And all on social media. And like, that's just fascinating because like, it's obviously huge sums of money, but like, it's considered like, it's considered strange to get, just to hand your friend money as a present. Here you go.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, you know, now my mind goes to the poor assistant whose job it was to go get $250,000 in quarters.
No, no, well, it's not. It was $250,000 cash.
Okay, cash.
But
okay.
But in the suitcase, the part of the presentation was hundreds of quarters.
Okay, got
because
it.
Because it was a quarter. And also, Harden, the day that Embiid won the MVP last year,
yes,
Harden gave him like some.
It was a
very
Rolex.
Expensive
Rolex. Oh, it was a Rolex. And Joel's like, I've never had anything this expensive in my life. Like, Joel didn't even know how to wear it. Like, he was just holding it.
And this is maybe the most symbolic thing of their relationship. The Rolex didn't fit. Rolex didn't fit. It didn't fit on Embiid's hand.
Yeah.
Like, it was a beautiful gift. And Harden obviously, like, makes a big deal of gifts. And he and his friends exchange, like, high-value gifts. Like, the guy you quoted in one of your stories, Ramona, Michael Rubin, who used to own the Sixers. He owns Fanatics. Now he doesn't own the Sixers. Like Bob Kraft turned like 80 or something. Maybe he's not 80. Maybe he's 75.
It's
Bob Kraft had a big birthday like in the last couple of years. And Michael Rubin gave him a Bentley. Like, I don't know from that. I don't know from giving somebody like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I guarantee you it wasn't just a Bentley. It was probably some custom limited edition.
Oh my
whatever.
God, it was gorgeous. I don't remember anything about, I don't remember what I remember seeing it though. And it was gorgeous.
Because I think this gets down to the fundamental thing of like, what do you get the person who has everything? You have to like find something that they don't have that just shows how much you care about them or how special
Spears,
or cool they are.
Spears, that's like George Clooney before he got married and had these kids, like back when he was a bachelor. George Clooney like made that one space movie. I can't remember what it's called. And he made like $50 million or $70 million on it or whatever. And he had like six or I may not have every detail of the story, right? He had like six or seven like lifelong friends that he always hung out with. So he invited them over to dinner at his house, which is Clark Gable's former house, which is an amazing sidelight that we've gone way off the trails here. But, and there's at each of their seats at this dinner party, there's a duffel bag. And in the duffel bag, he gave each of them $1 million cash as a gift. Because he's like, listen, I want to share my success with you. Here's $1 million. Cash. Like, can you imagine, Ramona, if you showed up at a party and somebody handed you $1 million cash? I don't even know what, I don't know what to do at this point.
I don't even, do I go home?
What do you do?
Like, do you go to a bank with it?
You're in the
like,
Hall of Fame. Spears, you're in the Hall of Fame. What do you do with $1 million cash? What do you do
in
with
the
it?
Bank.
You just walk up to the bank and say, here's $1 million. Could I have a deposit slip? I mean, it's,
I don't think you can do
it's
that.
Wild, man. This
George
is, a,
Clooney
this is
gave
stuff
it
I'm
to
not
me.
familiar with.
Have a picture of me and George in the bag to prove it. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine the poor teller.
Brian, that's a
like,
problem. That's a
gonna get
problem
my manager
I
over
wish
here.
I had. I would take that problem any day.
I sold a car once and the guy
like,
paid
what is
me
the
in
greatest
cash.
Gift that one of your friends has given you?
I can't remember any off the top of my head.
Me neither. The greatest gift, I don't know. I get like my roommate and I send each other, my college roommate and I, we always send each other gifts. She gets me like, she sends me usually something from Gold Belly, like some or QVC, you know, something she buys. I send
Spears,
her
what about
blankets.
You? What was the best gift you got? You got some gifts for going to the Hall of Fame. You got
I
some
like
wine
really
or something.
Expensive bottle of wine.
Yeah, I know you did.
A friend of mine gave me John Hamilton. I think he gave me a bottle of wine that was worth about $750 or something.
You
like
drink that.
That
wine? See, I feel like if somebody gave
no.
me something that expensive, I wouldn't
no.
drink it. I just have it in my house, you know.
Collecting dust.
Yeah.
What is
that's a problem with my wine fridge right
yeah.
now is I got stuff I can't drink unless it's something special happens.
Your guy who owns the Nuggets and the Rams and all that stuff, Stan Kroenke, he owns that winery Screaming, is it Screaming Eagle
yeah.
or Soaring Eagle?
I need to get there.
And isn't it like 50 grand bottles? Like that's what you need to do.
I did drink my guy Clay Morton Wines in Hillsburg. He brought a $3,000 bottle of wine to dinner the other day.
And that was.
And my friend Al, who doesn't drink wine, just is like, oh, this is good. He's like, dude, what are you doing? You can't chuck
$3,000
wine. He's
going
to be mad when he hears that. But yeah, he just. Like,
all right, the Lakers.
All right. I thought we were going to pivot to the Lakers when you brought up Dennis Schroeder the other day.
Well, speaking of high end wines, Mr. James. The funny thing about it is
his wine does well, LeBron. Supposedly.
Here's Who's? The thing about LeBron.
James
Harden's wine, yeah.
I'd like to try it.
Yep.
All right. He can
all right.
makes that. He can probably do that. Here's the thing about LeBron. LeBron is like quote unquote cheap. Like anybody who knows you will tell you that like LeBron
I've heard this. Yeah.
is like very he's not throw money around.
Yes.
Except when he does. Like yeah. LeBron's got a pretty impressive car collection. He's not getting those cars for free, okay? LeBron is in the middle of a $100 million development in Beverly Hills where he bought this giant piece of land, tore everything down, and is building like a compound. So like LeBron is like cheap except for when he isn't, which is a lot. And LeBron is known to drink fine wine. And I don't think LeBron's, I'm sure he's had many bottles sent his way by other people, but LeBron is, you know, he's not.
Well, when they have their dinners, right? Those Draymond tells me about those dinners that they have.
Well, just look at LeBron's
competition of getting a bottle. A friend of mine, you know, Adrian Stelly?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
He's with Converse.
Nike. Oh, no, he's with Converse now?
He went to a LeBron Draymond dinner and thought he was doing something, and he went and bought a $500 bottle of wine. And that wine didn't make the cut at dinner.
Ooh.
It didn't make the cut. Take
didn't
it back.
Didn't even open it. That's cute. We'll put your wine over here on the side. In the little nice cute
like,
bag.
It was like it Max Christie. Couldn't get in the game.
Oh, poor
it was
Max
just
Christie.
Like, what kind of wine do they have there for a $500 bottle? Probably my best wine store. I went to dinner with Tony Parker one time. I brought a really nice bottle. He starts going into this soliloquy about how Napa doesn't have great wines. It's not old like the French Bordeaux. So we were at this place called The Battery in San Francisco. And he went and got their catalog and bought a 1982 Bordeaux bottle from France. I don't know what it cost. I didn't want to know what it cost. But he felt like he had to one-up my really nice bottle that I brought. And that so these wine wars... those guys are so competitive. I think I saw Chris Paul gave, I can't say who it was, he gave somebody a bottle of wine from the year they were born, and it was like in the 50s.
You know what? We shouldn't talk too much about this. I'm sure we're Baxter Holmes is already knee deep in the story.
Meanwhile, Chris Paul is flying Southwest. This is what I'm saying. Yep. Like,
no, he's like, a JSX guy.
No, he's okay. All right. So
he does. He does it, but his preference is JSX. Do you know who JSX is?
Yes,
Jet SpaceX. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Listen, Chris Paul's preference is to fly private. And excuse me, Mr. Spears, if I'm not mistaken, you have flown private with Chris Paul.
You can't fly Southwest. All right. In 3 hours.
So at the beginning of
yes.
All right. At the beginning of the season, Mike Dunleavy gives this press conference about the Warriors offseason. He goes, yeah, there was a couple of times where Chris Paul flew into scrimmage with our guys and flew in Southwest. And I was like, he did not fly Southwest. He did not fly Southwest to San Francisco. And so I checked the story out with his agent. And he was like, yeah, he flew Southwest.
I mean, it is a quick
times.
Flight.
Probably from like, Burbank.
I was like, yeah, I want to see the boarding pass. It says C-11 with Chris Paul's name on it.
He would definitely not get a C group boarding pass. Come on now.
Like, I know Draymond does it. I've seen Steve Kerr on a Southwest flight to San Diego. Their flights are so quick that in Southwest is like a bus. They're like every hour on the hour.
No, I get it.
I'm just saying, only from a convenience purpose.
They got 10,000 bottles of wine and then they're flying Southwest. This is what I'm saying. Like, they're cheap except when they're not.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing about NBA players is that they're cheap, but then they're not cheap at all.
I think Chris had to buy the plane to Winston-Salem. It wasn't. That plane got there. It went from Van Nuys to Winston-Salem in 3.5 hours.
Direct.
Direct.
Yeah. If you took Southwest, you'd be like, he's stopping in Tulsa.
Like, I think we went past the like speed of lightning. It was just like a light hum. I don't know how we got there that fast. From LA to North Carolina in 3.5 hours, that thing was moving.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Like Star Trek.
The Lakers.
We're way off the rails, and it's probably my fault.
But I love it. No, this is why I'm so glad to have you guys on. You know, by the way, I don't know anything about wine. Nothing. I would have no chance. And I wouldn't last for a tenth of a second. But Spears, you're all about Spears, by the way. This is how, you know how in the bubble, like there had to be like a, they had to like build a loading dock to deal with the players' incoming Amazon boxes. There was like 500 Amazon boxes arriving per day. They had like to construct a mail room. Spears Amazoned himself a wine fridge in Disney World. Is that true?
That's true. It got stolen too.
What?
It did?
You didn't know that story?
No.
So when we go into the bubble, they basically made us quarantine for a week. So my wine fridge was sitting in the mail room for a week. And then when I got out, it was gone. And
that wine fridge,
there was some kind of mystery on where it went and where it had gone. And I still to this day don't – somebody –
Somebody knows.
Cristiano, one of them, they know the real story behind it, Tim Frank. But somehow I ended up getting another.
What's
wine
a wine fridge cost?
Does
it cost like $2,000? Does it cost
$1,500?
No, like $200.
Yeah.
Okay. Wine fridge
cost. I didn't get a major one, like something that holds like.
You
want to
bet that somebody took that
somebody
wine fridge?
Somebody stole it. One of the players probably.
Here's what happened. Somebody took that wine fridge and saved $250 and had $10,000 worth of wine in it.
I believe you. And that's
why
that's
how NBA players are.
Somehow
that's
got
how
me
NBA
another
players
one.
Are.
They didn't want me to write that story.
I guess not.
But I actually, the bougie thing I had is I had a wine suitcase.
Oh, gosh.
Had as in it's been, that was
no,
stolen
I still
too?
Got it. It's in my.
Oh, okay.
But it carried like 16 bottles. So I had a wine suitcase.
16. Holy Moses.
That's, I'm out of your league. That's when you got a problem, when you got a suitcase that you can put wine in.
The Lakers are 3-4 after 7 games, Ramona.
Yeah.
There's some pretty wild stats out there. I mentioned on the last podcast, and I'll give the updated number. Right now, the Lakers are plus 47 with LeBron on the floor, minus 77, plus 47 with him on the floor, minus 77 with him off the floor. When he's on the floor, their offensive rating is 116.7. That's would be number one in the league. When he's off the floor, it drops to 91.2.
Ooh.
So it's
That would be the lowest in the league.
A 25 point something
spread.
When he's on the court per 100 possessions, opponents score 107 points. When he's off the court, they score 127 per 100 possessions. The idea of him having his minutes limited has gone right out the window.
That lasted for literally 2 days.
One game.
Yeah, one game.
The dynamics of the game in Washington, Miami on Monday night, the Lakers were furious about calls.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell got ejected for two technicals, the second of which was when he kicked the ball, which was automatic tech.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis hurt his hip or his adductor muscle or something. He didn't play well. I don't know what his status is going to be going forward.
He says he'll play against Houston, but we'll see.
That game is Wednesday.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Lakers can't shoot. They're 29th in three-point percentage. And I know they've got some injuries, but it's not like their three-point shooters are hurt. The guys who are hurt are Jared Vanderbilt, Rui Hachimura. I mean,
yeah,
Gabe Vincent. Gabe Vincent, who's shooting 7% on threes when he got hurt. 7%. But the play people are kind of freaking out about is the ball ends up in Cam Reddish's hands for the game winner. I mean, this has been going on for 20 years, people criticizing LeBron for passing. He gets double teamed at the rim, throws a great pass. Cam Reddish is wide open. Darvin Ham drew it up on the, there's a replay where you can see Darvin Ham drawing the ball going to Cam in the corner. But Cam Reddish is a 15% 3-point shooter. 1-5.
1-5.
So, Ramona, what do we, the Lakers are 3-0.
But that was supposed to be a specialty, right? It was. It hasn't been.
No. Listen, here's what's happened. The Lakers made some great moves last year to become a much, much better defensive team. And then they got more offense than they ever would have dreamed out of Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves and even a little bit of Jared Vanderbilt. He had a game against Dallas last year that was really good. But mostly what they did last year was transform their defense. And their offense just sort of naturally transformed because Russell Westbrook wasn't a part of it anymore. It became just centered around LeBron. When I have watched them this year, it looks like Austin Reeves is very uncomfortable out there. He has not found his groove playing with the starting group and also playing alongside LeBron James. Last year, he often came off the bench or he was kind of staggered his minutes with LeBron. As you know, he's kind of he's a facilitator type.
He's
a ball handler. He needs the ball. LeBron needs the ball. This is always an issue. D'Angelo Russell kind of needs the ball. He can play off the ball better. He's great at catch and shoot threes, but he is a point guard. So now you have three guys out there who kind of like the ball and they're all starting. And then there's Anthony Davis, who Darvin Ham is saying, you're our guy. We should be playing.
By the way, quick aside, what did Darvin say before the season? He wanted him to make
8 3-pointers a game. He wants to take eight.
Do you know how many he's taking?
How many?
One.
Okay. And
he's taking fewer than he did last year. He's taking now the fewest he's had in 7 years. Oof. Sorry, go ahead.
So but the point of it was not to really take eight. It's the idea. It was a mentality thing. Like, hey, we want you shooting. We want that spacing.
It's
we
not
want
happening.
You being aggressive. It's just not happening. Right. Same reason why.
He's putting up good numbers. Just to be clear, he's playing well. But
38 minutes a game. He's playing really well. But yeah, what's happening is everyone has regressed because A, they're not playing defense like they did last year. And B,
they ranked 16th in defense so far.
Yeah. And last year,
behind the Grizzlies,
after the trade, they were like the best defense 26. In the league.
That's right.
When they came, they're not playing defense, which then starts everything. Then offensively, everybody seems out of sorts. They just have not figured out their new roles, the new way to play with LeBron and through LeBron. And LeBron, who was only supposed to be playing like 28 minutes a game, is up to 39 minutes a game. 39 at his age. I mean, if you're 38 years old and you're playing 39 minutes.
They have played some overtime games, so it's a little inflated, but your point is fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's I think they have regressed. This is them trying to find their sea legs. This is them trying to find a new flow. And it's hard to do that when your major offseason acquisition, Gabe Vincent, has had a knee thing. He hasn't been very good when he has played. They let Dennis Schroeder go, who I think was an underrated loss for them. I don't, you know, they prioritized Gabe Vincent over Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder was good for them last year. He was tough. He was good. He organized the offense. He gave them a identity. I think I was surprised they let him go as easily as they did. And so I think they miss him. And no one has stepped into that role. And then the two guys they really paid, Rui Hachimura has been out with a concussion pretty much the whole year. And Austin Reeves has been not good and not comfortable in the role they're playing him. D'Angelo Russell is one game good, one game bad. And so
that's who he's been for five, 8 years, whatever.
Yeah. And so this is just an uneven team that LeBron, when he senses the team is not playing well, he takes over. Which is what he's done his entire career, but asking him to do it. I'm going to knock on wood as I say this, cause I don't want this to happen. But like when you have a player his age playing this many minutes, it's a matter of time. It's just exposure to risk and injury. And, you know, same thing with Anthony Davis. He went down yesterday with an injury, like one thing leads to another. It's just, this is not a sustainable way for them to play, and they have to figure it out sooner rather than later because the rest of the West is off to the races.
Should the Lakers jump into the LaVine OG sweepstakes and try to do something there?
I would give them 25 games, give them a quarter of the season. I mean, so much of what they sold in the offseason, and I agreed with them, was this idea that the contracts they signed these players to, Rui and Austin Reeves, those are good contracts. Those are movable contracts, but you can't do that anything until there's a certain amount of time passes. I forget what it is for each one of those guys, but it's I don't think they do anything until you give them, 25, 30 games.
Yeah.
I mean, but there are already calls in Los Angeles for a third star. Like, why didn't they get James Harden? Why didn't they go I'm like, didn't we just go down this road last year? And then they had to do gymnastics to try to undo the move for Westbrook, and it took a year and a half to undo it. And they made the Western Conference Finals with two stars and a bunch of well-fitting pieces. The pieces have been hurt. And then the ones that have played haven't played all that well, but it's still seven games in small sample size. It just needs to happen sooner rather than later.
You are right. That is something that has happened on and off over LeBron's career, particularly when his team starts the season out with injuries. He just puts more on his back.
Yeah.
And he could get away with it without getting hurt when he was 33, 29. Yeah. It's a harder sell at 38. It's just harder. I mean, it's been happening the last couple of years. This is, I think it is, Ramona. The structural changes you're talking about with their lineup are dead on. They're not as deep as they thought they were. And again, a Lakers fan would yell at me, well, we're down three players, but that's true, but they're not as resilient as they. The reason that they're going to play LeBron less minutes is because they thought they had depth after their offseason, and that maybe it'll show up later, but it hasn't shown up yet. So
my last parting word, because I got to do the radio, and so I guess Spears, you got to go, right? I think that the stat you mentioned about the 3-point shooting is pretty staggering to me. I go back to last year when LeBron said we need a bunch of lasers. Remember, we need some shooters, we need some lasers, and we don't have that. And they actually do have guys who historically are much better shooters than they have been so far this year, but they have the same problem because no one's shooting.
By the way, 29.8%.
I mean, whether you're rooting for the Heat or the Lakers last night, it was incredibly frustrating to watch that game on both sides. Like, it was just Brick City at the end. I was like, does anybody want to win this game? Like, the Heat could have put them away. They were up by 10.
That's the other thing.
The Lakers
botched, like, their last four or five possessions. Yeah. Like, people are going to focus on, you know.
The Cam Reddish shot.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing about it is Lakers are shooting the 24th most threes. They're not even, their volume isn't even there. Mm-hmm. You know, so all right, you guys got to go. Thank you for telling your stories. Thank you for coming on the pod. We'll have you guys back. We can wrangle you together.
You know what this is called? This was a wind down, you know.
I think I made a fool of myself three to seven times in this podcast.
No, I think you're gonna get sent bottles of wine now from your listeners.
I would be
more money from Lil Baby.
There it is. Oh, that would be much better.
Send I'll take what's half a honey bun?
Oh,
a doodle fritter.
You know what? That is absolutely the last word.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Hoop Collective Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.